We are setting out for the place of which the Lord said, I will give it to you. Come with us, and we will treat you well. For the Lord has promised good things to Israel. I want us to consider this passage this morning from Numbers chapter 10. Before we get into our lesson, I want to again welcome everyone. It's good to see everyone that is able to be out with us this morning. We need to be praying for those that are not able to get out and see how we can assist them. And I would like to echo what David said about our projects that are going on. You know, we are entrusted with the church and the Lord's business while we are here and need to be good stewards. And it's good to see everybody pitching in, working together, doing things. We need to be praying for our singing that is coming up. Hopefully we can attract some people from the community that we might get them curious to come and see who we are, set up some studies with them, and we would just keep praying that we would find some good and honest hearts. I asked Brother Jim to lead the invitation song to Canaan's Land, I'm on my way, and we'll be singing that in a few minutes, but consider these words. To Canaan's land I'm on my way, where the soul never dies. My darkest night will turn to day, where the soul never dies. A rose is blooming there for me, where the soul never dies. And I will spend eternity where the soul never dies. A love light beams across the foam, where the soul never dies. It shines to light the shores of home, where the soul never dies. My life will end in deathless sleep, where the soul never dies. And everlasting joys I'll reap, where the soul of man never dies. I'm on my way to that fair land where the soul of man never dies, where there will be no parting hand, where the soul of man never dies. No sad farewells, no tear-dimmed eyes, where all is love and the soul never dies. Friends, that's where we are going. And that song would have been taken from what we read about in the Old Testament with Moses and the Israelites going to the land of Canaan. There are several invitations throughout the Bible, and I would have to say Numbers chapter 10 is one of the great ones of the Old Testament. Moses said to Hobab, the son of Reuel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are setting out for the place of which the Lord said, I will give it to you. And come with us, and we will treat you well, for the Lord has promised good things to Israel. So we are journeying to a place that the Lord is going to give us. And just like Moses, surely we want others to go along with us. And if we are Christians, we want to treat them well. We are to do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith, Galatians 6:10. So let's consider going on this journey to Canaan's land. You know, friends, we need to always be on our toes, looking for opportunities to help someone to find their way home to God. We need to learn the value of the church, the value of the soul, the brevity of life and time, and realize that Jesus died for every one of us. And as we talked about in class this morning, God has given us the job of evangelizing, sharing the gospel with everyone. We need to see the importance of that and the power of that. And it needs to start in our lives. It needs to start in my life. If people don't see that in my life, I'm not going to be able to convince anybody to come along with me to go to Canaan's land. But when we stop and think about this, I will give it to you, come with us, and we will treat you well. Friends, there are many that we can treat well as we go through this life. You know, God was speaking of spiritual Israel, Christianity. Well, he was speaking of Israel. You think about spiritualist Israel, the church, and the Christian religion. And by nature, it's very good. Its nature is good. Its practice is good. Its influence is good, and good only. Christianity makes us pure and good. So we should be busy practicing righteousness. And when we think about all the things of the world, there's really no real lasting pleasure in those things. Satan will deceive us into thinking that there is. But when we think about going to Canaan and treating people well, and who can we take with us, I'd like to suggest we think about the poor. Jesus said that the poor would always be with us. They need our help. They need our assistance. We need opportunities of doing good. They need us. We need them. And again, not to look down on anyone for what they do have or what they don't have, because I'm sure people would look at me and say, well, there's a poor person. It's all a matter of how much you have. But there are poor people out there that need the gospel. They need the gospel. You think about the fatherless and the orphans around about us. And when I say think about these people, these are people that we can do good to help and invite them on the way as we are going to heaven. We're surrounded by these people, by poor people, fatherless, orphans, widows, and a lot of times we just close our eyes to them instead of helping them. James tells us in James 1:27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is to visit those people. And you think about the sick. We can do the sick much good. They need our help in so many ways. And we are surrounded by people that are poor and in poverty, not just with the physical things of this life, but they are poor and in poverty spiritually. They're destitute spiritually. This is nothing new. Back in the Old Testament, Amos chapter 8 and verse 11, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of the hearing the words of the Lord. You see, there's a lot of people, they don't want to hear the word of God. They don't want to listen to it. And there's a famine out there. Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Again, they lack knowledge. They're destroyed. And Paul told young Timothy, 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Friends, there are so many people that need to hear the word. Poor physically, spiritually, poor mentally, spiritually, morally, spiritually. And when I talk about being poor mentally, again, all of us need to be mentally fed. And what's the best thing to be mentally fed on? Is it that little box in our house or on the wall we call a TV? No. We need to be fed the Word of God. We need to spend time in the Word of God. And the best time to do that is first thing in the morning. Because if we don't do it first thing, one thing and then another is going to come along and disrupt our day. And then when we get around to the end of the day, we might be too tired or something else. We need to make God a priority. We should develop a mind that wants to be fed. We should feed others every opportunity that we have. Not pointing our finger and wagging at them, but kindly, lovingly in what we tell them. We can feed those hungry minds. We can feed those souls that are starved. We can send light in dark places. We can treat them well, and we should want them to come along with us. You know, when we read in Revelation about the number in heaven, and it's going to be an innumerable host. We won't be able to count how many there. We can't number it. But sometimes, the way people talk, I think they have the idea that, well, it's going to be me and maybe a couple other people, maybe some people I know. A very small group. No, it's going to be a large group. And where are they going to come from? They're going to come from one person telling another person, feeding them. Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. So there are many that we can treat well on this journey. But notice too that Moses said, we are journeying to a place. Canaan was a place. Heaven is a place. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. John 14:2. And we, hopefully every one of us here this morning, are on our way to that place. But we want others to share the joy of that place. We want others to share the joy of the journey and go along with us. But to get to that place, we've got to do certain things. We've got to crucify the lust of the flesh. We've got to follow in the steps of the Master. We've got to put off the old man and his deeds. We've got to put on the new man. We must deny ourselves and take up the cross and follow after Christ. And you see, going back to Israel, when they would do what God told them to do, God would bless them. When they didn't, they caused a lot of grief and harm and sometimes death for themselves. We must follow God. But this journey, this physical journey that we are on right now, one day it's going, unless the Lord comes back, it's going to end in death. And none of us know how soon that will be for us. And it's like each year, each week, each day that I get older, I become more aware of that. And I want to do as much as I can because I don't know when my last day will be. None of us do. When we're young, we think we've got all the time there is. Friends, we don't. Today may be our last day. But it's going, our journey here in this physical life is going to end in death, and we shall rest from our labors, and our works will follow on. Revelation 14:13. We shall enter into rest. Israel was on their way to an earthly Canaan. We are on the way to a heavenly Canaan. They had a long journey before they entered into that land. We have a journey that's filled with troubles and tribulations along the way. When they were in the wilderness, they had toils, fatigue, drought. They had enemies. We have heartaches. We have disappointments. We have Satan shooting his darts at us every day. And sometimes these heartaches and disappointments that we face come from the least expected sources. It might be someone close to us, might be someone in our family, but it's a journey. It's a process going through this land. And where were they going? Where were they going? Was it just another piece of land? Was it just a piece of land out of Egypt? In Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning at verse 7, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of the valleys and hills. Doesn't that sound like a beautiful place? A land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. Deuteronomy 8, 7 through 9. Everything that they needed would be there. God would provide everything for them. The land flowing with milk and honey. Not just milk and honey, but wheat and barley and fig trees and pomegranates and olive oil and honey. Bread without scarcity. Beyond their wildest dreams. And friend, if we are faithful, God will give us comfort from our trials and our journey. And what does he say is waiting for us in the land of Canaan? Revelation 21:4, John tells us, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. There been anything in this world that's made you cry, that's broken your heart? Where you felt like no one was going to help you, you were all alone. You felt the worst possible feeling. It's not going to be that way in heaven. And it's not just going to be an absence of that, but it's described, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Our Heavenly Father, that's a picture of tenderness and love and compassion, just like you see a parent with a little baby sitting on their lap and the baby's crying and the parent wipes the tears away. The parent's going to make it all right. Friends, if we are faithful on our way to Canaan, God's going to make it all right. And John tells us in Revelation 22 and verse 5, there shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun. For the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So earthly Canaan was prepared and given to the descendants of Abraham. And we who have the faith of Abraham are spiritual Israel. And heaven is prepared for us. Heaven is prepared for us. James 1:12, blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. See, we have a crown waiting for us, but we have to endure temptation. God is testing us. He's trying us. In Revelation 21:27, but there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So many of the world think that everybody's going to heaven. What do you mean everybody's not going to heaven? God's a God of love. Everybody's going to go there. Friend, God, that the only way that we can know the thoughts of God is when he reveals them to us. And here he has revealed them to John, and John wrote it down for us. And we know that everybody is not going to go to heaven. That's not something that I made up. We want everybody to go to heaven. God wants everybody to go to heaven. And we should want, you think about Moses. The thing that he wanted so much was to see God face to face. Moses loved God. Let me see your face, God. Let me see your face. And God said, that's not possible, Moses. And when Moses was able to see the part of God that he could, his face shone so brightly, he had to cover his head coming into the presence of God. But Moses desired that relationship with God. Moses wanted to go to the land of Canaan. And Moses didn't want to go there by himself. He wanted to invite his family. He wanted them to go along. We're setting out for the place of which the Lord said, I will give it to you. Come with us, and we will treat you well, for the Lord has promised good things to Israel. Friends, it's our duty. It's our privilege. It's our honor to invite others to go along with us. And there are so many that are not on the way. So many that are on the broad way that leads to hell and destruction. And it's our duty to rescue those that we can. We don't have to go far to find lost souls. They're all around us. It may be our own family. It may be our neighbors. It may be business associates. It may be people we are surrounded with at work. And we should invite them. If they say not interested, do we give up? No, we just keep inviting more and more. Because we should be like Moses. We want to see God. And it's going to be so great, we want everybody else to see him also. So there are many that we can treat well as we go on this journey. We're journeying to a place. It's a real place. And the journey to this place is narrow. It's narrow. Isaiah 5, or 35 verse 8, a highway shall be there and a road. And it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. It's a highway of holiness. It's a narrow way. It's not the broad way. In Isaiah 1:18, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. They are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And in Isaiah 55:1, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Those that obey God will be on that road, traveling to that land. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they can be as white as snow. It's a narrow road. We know so many people love the ways of the world and are heading down that broad way, headed for destruction. But the Lord does not take pleasure in the death of the wicked. The Lord wants people to turn from their wickedness. So again, what's he going to do? Is he going to work a miracle on them? Going to work a miracle on these wicked people? No, that's why he has us here, so that we can open his word and share with them and point out to them again in a loving way that they need to turn from their ways. There's no sadder thing under heaven than the death of the wicked. Ezekiel 33:11 says to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways. For why should you die, O house of Israel? And you think about maybe you buy something that's expensive for somebody and you give it to them. It's really expensive. And then they just turn it down. They don't care about it. How does that make you feel? It would make you feel hurt or upset. I went to all the trouble and I bought you this expensive gift and you're saying no, you're refusing it. Well, what did God do for us? What did he give us? His son. The precious blood of his son, the most expensive thing there is, and then people turn it down. God takes no pleasure in them. There wasn't anything more valuable than his son. And he said it's the blood that's the atonement for sins, and it had to be the blood of his son because he was sinless. And as a Christian, we should really appreciate salvation. We should appreciate it for ourselves, and we should appreciate it so much that we want others to be saved also. As a Christian, we should not want to go to heaven alone. Now, how many go with this? We have no control over. But it should be our desire, our practice, to invite others to go along with us. And when, again, back to, I'll give it to you, come with us, we will treat you well, for the Lord has promised good things to Israel. You know, the best thing that we can promise to people is the forgiveness of their sins. And we can't, God does, the salvation from their souls. We can promise that if they go with us on this journey, they're going to be in the presence of God, not in outer darkness with the devil and his angels. That's the most important things. But we can also share with people, talking about treating them well, just how good the Christian life is. Somebody explained to me years and years and years ago, there are so many landmines in life. You don't want to go looking for them and stepping on them. And if you live the Christian life, you avoid so many of those landmines. If you don't drink alcohol, you aren't going to be going into those clubs that's a landmine. If you don't gamble, you aren't going to be going to the Hollywood racetrack and gambling or betting inside. That's a landmine. So many things. Just living the Christian life, it avoids so many of the problems in this world. And that's from a negative standpoint. From a positive standpoint, Christians are the best people to be around. We should be the best people to be around. If you want to go on a journey with somebody, you want to go with somebody, you think about if you're flying on a plane across country, do you want to be with somebody that's friendly and a godly person, or do you want to be sitting stuck next to somebody that you can't tolerate? Friends, we can treat them well because we let Christ live in our life. We can treat them well because we can tell them what God has done for Israel, what God has done for us, and what God will do for them. Friends, there are so many people in the world that need encouragement. They need spiritual encouragement. They need influence from spiritual people. We are setting out for the place of which the Lord said, I will give it to you. Come with us. Friend, we need to always be on our toes, looking for opportunities to help someone find their way home to God. We need to value the church. We need to value His Word. We need to value the soul. We need to understand the brevity of life, that we are not guaranteed another day. And friend, think about this. No angel ever taught the gospel to any man or woman in the scripture. You can't read of any angel ever doing that. That was not their job. God has given that to men and to women, the task of teaching others. And the goal of all of us should be to teach. The gospel has been given into our hands. And what we do with it is critical. We can either take it and ignore it, or we can take it and share it. Or we can keep it to ourselves. And that's wrong also. The gospel, and I've heard you use this example, it's a gift. And this gift is a treasure. And we carry this treasure with us through this life. And we carry it in our hearts. And we have so much of this treasure in our heart that we are willing to share with any and everybody, just as God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Friends, come with us and we will treat you well. If there's anyone this morning that needs to be obedient to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.